So I'm going to talk a little bit about a composer that I've been very, very involved with for the last 8 or 9 years. In his preface to the score of Estonian ballads, Tormis writes, "It is not I who makes new use of folk music. It is folk music that makes use of me." Lines which have probably become his most famous quote. In this paper, I'll look at the way in which Tormis employed ancient Estonian folk song, or regilaul, in his compositions. The title of this paper, Ancient Song Reemployed, respectfully echoes that of Mimi Dates's study of Tormis, dating from 2004, Ancient Song Recovered, The Life and Music of Velu Tormis. Although not the first composer to use regilaul, Tormis's relationship with the song is inseparable from his mature compositional style and was to become fundamental to his identity as a composer. Indeed, preservation of the regilaul tradition was to become a mission in itself for Tormis in his later years. Firstly, a few words about regilaul. Meaning literally verse song, the term applies to alliterative songs dating back to the first millennium, in a tradition common to other areas of the Baltic, including Finland. These songs were spread orally and usually consist of short melodic lines with a small vocal range, often of no more than a fourth, formed of 8 syllables in 4 pairs. Melodies are repeated while the words evolve verse by verse through alliteration and wordplay. A typical style of regilaul singing uses 2 singers who share the last note of one line and the first of the next, thus forming a continuous chain of sound, as shown in this example. So if I go on to full screen, it seems to go on to slideshow. Yeah, but it then goes on to slideshow, so I then it won't. So you can see how the 2 parts overlap. This example, is from the 1936. See, that was sung by one singer, but the song would often be sung by 2 and kept moving as a continuous chain of song. So we'll look at it in a moment about how that was used in one of Tormis's best known choral pieces. Tormis describes how he first encountered regilaul as a child through the organ works of Edgar Arrow, staple repertoire for Estonian organists in the 1940s. Many of Arrow's works incorporated these traditional melodies. Later, when Tormis was studying at the Moscow Conservatoire in the early 1950s, his teacher of composition, Shevelin, whom he greatly respected, encouraged him to employ the material in his work. Shevelin, braving the repressive climate of the Zhdanov era to introduce then prohibited composers such as Debussy to his students, recommended Tormis take a non-romantic to folk material, rather than use it as a basis for thematic development, as had been the traditional 19th century approach. He advocated that the melodies should be preserved whole, intact within a composition, with development and variety provided by the accompanying material. In 1958, Tormis made a week-long visit to Kinu, a small island off the west coast of Estonia. Inspired by an article by ethnomusicologist Ingrid Grutel. This described the traditional wedding ceremonies still surviving there, with all their associated rituals and dances. Tormis found the experience profoundly moving, realising how fragile this surviving tradition was, and how soon it could be lost. The experience impelled him to compose his first work to incorporate Reginald, Kinu Pulmanaut, Kinu Island Wedding Songs. These are the Reginald melodies used in the first of the four songs. And you can see how similar many of the phrases are. The melodies are used in variations and with varying harmonies in the other three songs of the cycle. The small vocal compass and the small melodic differences between some of the lines are typical Reginald traits. I must say that should be, the translation should be, I cannot live without luck or good fortune rather than love. I think I was being a little bit over-romantic on that translation. In the Wedding Songs, Tormes freely elaborates and develops these Reginald melodies. For example, in the second verse, where it is transposed and extended, it leads to a wordless melisma for the whole choir. This practice was to become a Tormes hallmark. The subsidiary idea, deriving from the original material, is extended and harmonically enriched in some way. It enters almost unnoticed and gradually takes on a more dominant role. In this song, it seems to offer a wordless commentary from the choir on the emotions of the songs. By the mid-1960s, Tormes had found what he considers his mature voice, with Reginald now fully integrated into his choral idiom. The cycle, Istikendulakalendulaut, Estonian calendar songs, consists of five sets of songs based on festivals in the traditional Estonian farming year. St. John's Song is the final song of the cycle and marks the most important festival in the traditional Estonian calendar, Jaanipäev, St. John's Day. The Reginald melody is shown here. In this song, Tormes now preserves the Reginald melody intact, yet creates a vast emotional spectrum in the course of a song lasting some 5 minutes. This is achieved through a crescendo through the whole song, mirroring the progression of mood from the hushed reverence or in anticipation of the saint's appearance at the opening, to an ecstatic coda on his arrival. But also, with each entry, the grouping of voices and the choral colouring changes. Sometimes the melody is doubled at the octave above or below, sometimes it's enhanced by simple imitation, sometimes branches in parallel triads or chords that make of seventh parts to create a gradual thickening of the texture. Not until the final entry is the choir heard as a whole, now divided into 9 and later 12 parts. For the first time, the Reginald melody is heard harmonised in block chords, the upper voices doubled below. By marking dynamics down to a sudden piano, Thomas brings the effect of a great force held in check, like an organ playing with the swell box closed. Thomas has on many occasions denied the influence of the organ on his choral writing, yet he recollects the thrill he felt as a child when pulling out the stops to increase the registration. It is hard not to imagine that the technique of cumulative choral scoring owes some debt to early years spent at the organ, even if a subconscious one. The coda further displays Thomas's keen ear for choral sonority. After the climax, a D11th chord is held by the lower voices, while the upper voices repeat it an octave lower, now to a wordless sound. Finally, to a hummed chord, four pianos, from the tenors and basses. This creates a stunningly resonant effect, again so like an organist reducing the registration. The short song Leivermann from Three Estonian Game Songs describes a ship setting sail, apparently to a childlike land of dreams, to find birds and animals made of gold. But the skipper is warned of rocky reefs, the wind changes direction, and the ship is wrecked. No longer will the sweet net reveal treasures, but instead the dead bodies of sailors. The regular melody, which we saw at the beginning of the paper, comprises two eight-note, near-identical melodic phrases, differing only by three pitches, all contained within the interval of a perfect fourth. The unease is heightened by restless oscillations in the bass line, in irregular meter, between the A and G major chords. The song again exploits the cumulative scoring. The initial triad doubled in octaves, firstly in the bass, then the tenor, then the soprano register. The regular melody is repeated unchanged without a break. alternately by the first and second altos, a total of 16 times, with only slightest of melodic alterations. The song approaches the techniques of modernist composers of the period, showing that unbroken state of transformation of such contemporary works as works of, say, Ligeti or Penderecki. It was observed in the wedding songs that subsidiary material derived from the regular melody is used to form the choral accompaniment or interlude between verses, material which embodies the emotions of the song. Here in Leifermann, the idea is developed further. The subsidiary idea consists of an element of the regular melody filled out with parallel chords. So melody A filled out and B below. The word is subsidiary choral material is taken to centre stage by the end of the 16th verse, now fortissimo and presenting a very much more threatening face. If the danger was present at the beginning of the song, only now has it reached its full force. The dramatic climax consists of four superimposed triads widely spaced, using all 12 notes of the chromatic scale. Fragments of the now dismembered regular melody to the words, "Make me a net of steel, whereby I shall draw men from the sea," pass between sopranos and altos. Through the use of vitality, the melody and harmony are now unrelated, creating the impression that with the loss of the ship, there has also been the loss of a stable tonality. Here, regular melodies and texts from the Kalevala are interposed with modern Estonian text, inspiring Thomas's most modernist choral idiom. Estonian Ballads of 1980, Thomas's longest and largest scale work, and as yet rarely performed, is a ballet cantata for large forces, entirely based on a judicious selection by the composer's wife, Leah Thomas, of ancient songs and texts. Regular continued to form the basis of Thomas's compositions until the year 2000, when he chose to retire from composition, saying that he had completed his mission. Benny Thomas has been credited with ensuring the survival of Regular during the Soviet period through its integration into his works. But he has also spoken of needing a reason to compose beyond the music itself. "I have always had another purpose, a desire to express something, to emphasise an idea of some sort, even a political one, not a musical one." Regular provided Thomas with exactly that justification which he needed beyond the music itself, a phenomenon recognisable to many